In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What a treat to have Mark Rippon on the show here on Grant and Danny just a few minutes ago. If you missed any part of the conversation, make sure you podcast it when we are done at thefandc.com. We're out at 1757 Golf Course today for a wonderful event, good cause, the heroes being remembered and the Wounded Warriors benefiting from many former legends here in Washington sports and football getting together. You're listening to Grant and Danny, sponsored as always by our friends, the law firm Kondorian Murad. You can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with our buddies, Kondorian Murad, and one of their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. Get a discount, kmlawyers.com. We're going to cover the NFL and the Commanders on the Blitz, but let's start on the diamond with the Nationals. Bobby Blanco, MassinSports.com. The Braves in town to take on the Nats over at Nationals Park tonight. 6:15 pregame here on the Fan, 6:45 first pitch. Bobby, what do we need to know about Atlanta at Washington?
Well, I think it's a good thing to point out that the Nationals have already won the season series against the Braves this year. That's the first time they've done that since 2017. Of course, Atlanta's been the class of this division for the past seven or so seasons, a World Series ring in there, and a lot of division titles. But, you know, they've gone through a bunch of injuries this year, so this isn't the Braves team that we've seen dominate this division over the past couple of years. They're still a potent lineup, you know, because Igor is going to have his work cut out for him tonight, but it's not the same team that has dominated this Nationals team for a while now, and they've already won the season series, and the Braves are now looking to maybe miss the playoff for the first time since 2017. So the Nats can kind of play spoilers to someone who has been the class of the NL East for a while now.
Yeah, you'd certainly hate to see the Braves miss the playoffs, thinking back.
It would be a darn shame.
Yeah, it'd probably just be the worst. You know, I'd be upset all over the place if it was the Nationals' fault that that were to happen. You mentioned Mackenzie Gore. I'm doing the thing where I peek out, thinking that there's sunlight, before the invisible force punches me in the nose for the millionth time. But did Mackenzie Gore turn the corner here?
You would hope so, and I think a lot of the signs are pointing to that he has. His velocity is up. He is mixing his pitches really well. I know facing the Marlins is different than, you know, facing the Braves tonight, but he did carry a perfect bid into the sixth inning last time out against the Marlins in an eventual loss. That was not his fault. He pitched really well against them, and he has pitched well against the Braves this year. I think this is going to be his fourth time seeing them, and he's pitched a quality start, I think, close enough every single time. So, yeah, hopefully he gets back on track, finishes the season strong. He's probably got three or four starts remaining in the year. Like I said, the velocity's back up on his fastball. He's been mixing in all of his pitches. His changeup looked really good in Miami, so maybe that's something to build off of as well. But he does need a strong finish. These last three starts have been very encouraging. Hopefully these next three are just as encouraging.
Bobby, since James Wood got called up on July 1st, he's got 41 batted balls over 105 miles an hour, fifth most in the league, ninth most in all of baseball. He's hitting 561 on those 41 batted balls. And he actually leads the National League and is fifth in Major League Baseball with a .417 on-base percentage since July 27th. What have you made of James Wood's rookie season?
I think he's everything that made him the number one prospect in the sport. And he's made them, you know, why the Nationals made him the crown jewel of that Juan Soto trade. Now, obviously, there are a bunch of pieces that came over. You know, we just talked about McKenzie, CJ, and then a couple of pieces left in the minor leagues. But James Wood was the number one prospect in that, and he's been the top prospect in the sport for over the past year, and we're seeing why. All those underlying metrics, I mean, I think his command of the strike zone has been fantastic. That was the big worry coming into this season. Can he keep the strikeouts down? I know he has a good amount of strikeouts, but he is still just a rookie. He's walking at a decent pace as well. And we talked about, too, before, like how he's getting kind of punched out on some tough calls and not getting the right call. I think that he has a great eye in that strike zone, and I think he's only going to get better there. So, you know, top marks for James Wood in his first 60 games plus as he finishes out the season.
Bobby, thank you as always, bro.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We will see you, my friend. Hit that NFL sounder, Darris. Our guy Benjamin Brown joins us to talk about the NFL. Ben, I'm going to give you a couple of teams who lost in week one, and you tell me if this is just a fluke in week one or if it's a sign of bad things to come. All right, we're going to start here. Cincinnati.
So I would say with the Bengals, I know we see the same song and dance every year. I think they have a really poor EPA on week one type games. I always kind of start off behind the eight ball, but in saying that, I do kind of feel this underlying tone that this could be different. Obviously, losing to what I would widely project to be the worst team in football in week one kind of gives up a lot of hope on that, you know, really soft schedule that they had going forward. So although I was, you know, a firm believer in them kind of responding in a positive 2024 direction, I very much think that, you know, this is a pretty detrimental loss, as big as you could potentially have in week one. And they very much kind of need to figure it out and get together quickly, I would say, in order to kind of keep pace in the AFC North and the greater AFC at large.
All right, two more. Atlanta.
I also think this is kind of a similar vein of thought, where in the point where, you know, I think a lot of people were impressed with what they could put forth on paper. In some ways, everything coming together quickly, was a tall expectation. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is really good, but I think overall only putting up 10 points, not a lot of production in any sort of facet of the play. I think the clear indication coming out of week one is that the Buccaneers are the team to beat in the NFC South, and I very much think that the Falcons have a long hill to climb in order to kind of get back into relevancy and potentially even win that division. So I think overall they're probably the team that I shifted on the most, you know, going into week one to kind of coming out of week one here.
And last one, Cleveland.
I think, you know, obviously what happens at the quarterback position is very much going to determine their outcome. I think, again, I am kind of buying into what we saw in week one. Overall, I thought the defense was a little bit probably overvalued from a betting market standpoint, and there still was this wide question of what Deshaun Watson could actually be. Very much the downside case for Deshaun Watson. If that is the case, you know, they are, setting up, I would say, to be the fourth best team in the AFC North, and I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if they end up finishing in that position.
Ben, what'd you make of the Dak Prescott contract on Sunday morning?
It was an intriguing timing. I know we had kind of talked last week. It was a situation that, you know, I felt like if they did resolve, it was going to be something that could actually, you know, speak to them actually being, having things in the right train of area for, you know, the 2024 season. I think the news and when it came out was kind of weird. I think in some ways it was something that maybe was agreed to beforehand, and they kind of held it close to the vest for a little while. But I think overall, you know, dominating performance in the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the whole narrative of them, you know, seemingly being in somewhat disarray, I think is, you know, at least alleviated with both the CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott extension. It does seem like the continuity aspect of what they're trying to build, there's a foundation there, and I very much think that they could be the team to beat in the NFC East because of the fact that they kind of have, the long-term outlook with both Dak and CeeDee in place for sure.
Why were passing numbers down so low in week one?
It's a good question. I think in some ways, there were still some explosive plays, but overall, I think, you know, there was really only a few teams with a higher than average ADOT. I do think just in starting off, you know, especially in the trenches, like defenses seem to, at least be able to kind of just go and create chaos early on in the season and things get more refined from an offensive standpoint. I know it's not a trend that we, see holes year in and year out, but I think overall it does seem like, just from a league-wide standpoint, you know, defense are just a little bit ahead of the curve, but I think there will be a response, you know, happening quickly in week two, and I do think we're going to see, you know, totals and the passing game kind of spike here relatively quickly.
Benjamin, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
See you, bud.
You got it. Let's talk football locally. And to help us talk about the Commanders, we got our buddy Kevin Sheehan of the Kevin Sheehan Show. Your big takeaway from the offensive performance in week one was?
Oh, man. Jaden Daniels' mobility, not that it was a surprise, but that, you know, given kind of the game context and the fact that the defense couldn't get off the field, you know, he tried to make a lot of plays, primarily with his legs. And that was exciting. Hopefully the rest of it will come around. It was one game. And I really am a big fan of Brian Robinson Jr., and I'm looking forward to see what he can do this year.
Kevin, what's your thoughts on this? When Mike Shanahan and company were out of football for their, you know, their little sabbatical hiatus, whatever you want to call it, they came back with this revolutionary offense and designed this thing for Griffin and changed the league to a degree. Cliff Kingsbury is out of football. I mean, he's in college, but he comes back and it's the exact same Cliff Kingsbury offense through week one. It seems like that we saw previously with him in Arizona. It's a lot of, I hope the quarterback makes a play for me. What did you make of him in week one? I don't want to overreact, but I'm kind of overreacting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest mistake we make every year is overreacting right to the biggest head fake week of the season, which is week one. I mean, you know, you look at what he did in the best season in Arizona, they were very much reliant on James Conner and Chase Edmonds and, you know, certainly a quarterback who I would not compare to Jaden Daniels, primarily because of the size. I mean, Kyler Murray is a little guy that really does need to move around, create passing lanes, find spots off schedule. I'm confident that they'll come up with something. I think in hindsight and kind of looking back at Sunday and just kind of watching things a little bit more, there weren't a lot of people open. When there were, I definitely thought Jaden could have pulled the trigger a couple of times, bailed a couple of times. The second and eight early in the third quarter kind of went backwards in the pocket, which was reminiscent of Griffin, you know, at times, which I did not like at all. He got hit, he fumbled, they recovered the fumble, and there were definitely people open on that play. But I need to give it a couple of weeks here, more than a couple, just to see what they do. We all kind of had concerns about their skill position players, especially at wide receiver, just like we had concerns about corner on defense. So they're going to have to figure out ways to scheme around it. I also would not be surprised if we look back at week one, say in week 10, and realize they played a pretty good team, especially defensively. But I'm not overly worked up or concerned about anything that I saw on Sunday.
I think I would be in the same boat with you in that week one is just the ultimate misleader, right? It is a deceiving week a lot of the time. Having said that, I do think this was a super disappointing debut for the Quinn regime. And especially for the defense where, you know, Danny, yesterday we argued about this a little bit, but he's like, oh, well, you know, the defense was the worst in the league last year. What'd you expect? I mean, if you take John Allen and Daron Payne out of the equation, there were three guys from last year's defense basically on the field as starters. I expected just a little bit more, and at least maybe expected is the wrong word, but hoped that some of the holdovers with better coaching would get off to a faster start, even though I realize it is just four quarters.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was for me, and again, it's one week. It's a big head fake week. It's a head fake week because they don't do anything in the summer, especially when you have teams that are so brand new, and Washington might be the most brand new team in the league. But, Grant, I agree with you because all offseason I thought, you know, you're getting a veteran staff, a defensive head coach. You're bringing in veteran players that are familiar with the coaching schemes in many places, in many cases, whether it's Wagner, Dorrance Armstrong, or Fowler Jr. And I thought that there was a chance that that would turn around quickly. And I still do think there's a chance it'll turn around quickly. You know, I don't know if you guys talked about this, but one of the odd, quirky things that happened Sunday is they were about the most effective defensive team in the league on first down. And then second and third down were disasters. But they had Tampa in 9 second and 10 or longers in that game, which is a pretty advantageous down and distance for second down. And yet they were horrible on second and third down. It was very disappointing. You know, the other thing, too, is I didn't think that there was this, you know, identity, you know, that they talked about, the secret sauce that they talked about all summer about, you know, these player traits and what they wanted to be, and you can hold us to this. I didn't see the energy. I didn't see the, you know, the finishing. You know, maybe chalk it up to a brutally hot day and a lot of confusion defensively, certainly. But it's only one game. I'm not, you know, there are no referendums for me on one game, especially week one. But I do agree that I was expecting and still do expect a defensive turnaround that, you know, doesn't put it in the top 10 necessarily, but you end up with a much different situation than you had last year. And yet on Sunday, I felt like I was watching last year's defense.
You can see why we have Kevin Sheehan on, right? Because to be a Grant and Danny guest, you have to arrive violently, know where your north is, be where your feet are. All of those things, and you did it, Kevin. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever.
Of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan on 106.7 The Fan. We are out and about at 1757 Golf Course. In Ashburn, not far from where the Commanders are training over at the facility today. Austin Ekeler joins us in a half hour, the Commanders running back who just made his debut with the team. Caught four balls for a team high 52 yards in the game. Looking forward to catching up with him in about 30 minutes. If you've got a question for Eckler, we're going to take a listener question. Throw it in the chat on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, or send us your tweets if you're listening on the Odyssey app or on the old school radio, which we love.
You know the thing.
At Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. We'll open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067 and the MGM National Harbor listener lines are going to be yours. But Danny, I want to let you start. Who are you most disappointed with from the Commanders' 17-point season-opening loss?
Cliff Kingsbury, it's not close for me. This is – you had time to learn. You had time to study. You had time to adjust, right, in his, you know, supporting role at USC last year. He wasn't the OC, or he was kind of like this, you know, special consulting assistant type guy, et cetera. This was the time to study what makes – you know, your system vulnerable. The time to figure out what you can do better, what you would do differently. You've known it's going to be Jaden Daniels for a long time. What needs to happen to maximize and protect in this offense? And they didn't do that. So to me, the guy that was kind of out now was brought back in, who had time to kind of reinvent himself, who's in the inner circles of some of the great offensive minds of our time, right? He's in that cool kids club with McVay and LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan and everybody else. There's a lot to study. There's a lot to pull from. And it, to me, looked like Cliff Kingsbury's offense from a few years ago in Arizona, where Terry McLaurin's on one side, not open, not available, because there's no other weapons to worry about, so defenses can key on him, can bracket, can cloud, can do everything to bother him and not and make him ineffective, and not much interest in, you know, kind of spreading the ball around to other playmakers. The same complaints I had for years. Well, this offense was terrible. If I'm going to be terrible on offense, I'm going down feeding Terry McLaurin and my next best playmaker. If my offense is going to be bad, enter week number one, I cannot live with myself if deep into the third quarter, there are two touches combined between Austin Eckler and Terry McLaurin. I can't. It's something that drives me crazy. If I'm going to lose, I'm going down that way. They seemed content to not go down that way, to hand it off to Brian Robinson, to thump it in the line of scrimmage. I just need my playmakers with the football. He didn't do that.
So I love that answer. It's an easy answer for me to think at top of my head. He comes to mind first or second. I'll go in a couple different directions, though. Stay in the coaching vein for a moment. Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn. So many shades of Rivera in the game management, in my opinion. Forget that it was just a fairly listless performance and you were down by 23 at the end of the game and the defense was a disaster. Everything I just said sounds like a year ago, right? You couldn't stop a mediocre quarterback. Your secondary was getting torched by outside wide receivers. I mean, it was all shades of 2023. But one of the things I was really hoping for was that game management stuff would be a lot better. And I did not think it was for one game. Not going to make a huge deal of it. We're just evaluating the one performance. Or were we disappointed by Dan Quinn? There was a 4th-and-3 at the 29-yard line early. They decided to kick a 47-yard field goal with a kicker who had a bad, you know, preseason enough to not have made a roster and who wasn't kicking in the league last year. That's a go situation, in my opinion. 4th-and-3, 29-yard line. 2024, the year of our Lord, we're going for that. That's pretty obvious to me, intuitive. Didn't do it. Had a situation later in the game where he had a chance to go for a 2 to cut a deficit to one possession. He went from 10-9 with an extra point to keep it a 2-possession game. He explained it after the game and talked about why he did that, and we can get into the explanation. Not a huge deal. I don't think it, in and of itself, standalone was the worst thing ever. But it was just another scenario of kind of passive over aggressive, right? Being just kind of a guy who's going to let the game come to you rather than taking it to the game. I had 4 years of that. I don't want more of that. I'm sorry. I'm over it. And there were other situations along the way where, whether it was a fourth down decision or little things here or there, I'm going, this feels like the last couple seasons. So Dan Quinn, not to mention, and maybe this was where I was being unrealistic, I just thought that I would immediately see something different, fun about the defense, like how they used guys and moved guys, and there'd be weird formations that I've never thought of. They'd have guys standing up, like all 11 guys are just standing over the ball, or they're running in a circle before the snap like the Chiefs do on offense. Yeah. You know, it's some of that I'm doing shtick, but like, I thought we'd see something. We were sold all offseason. Him and Witt, they're different, they're better, and I think they are. In fact, I know that this coaching staff is better than the last one. I promise, we all get that. but you wouldn't have known it if you just turned on your TV at 12:59 on Sunday. And I think it's okay to acknowledge this is a process. It's going to take time. No one's saying you had to get it right in week one. But if you're asking me who was I disappointed by in the first game, Dan Quinn.
Yeah. It would have been nice to show some of it in week one. Nobody's saying it's a finished product. And again, this is a team I picked to go 7-10. Right, the over-under for Vegas is 6.5, depends on your book. So nobody's predicting a world beater here. Everyone understands, I think, kind of the place, and they're on their way and hopefully trying to build something and change culture and do a lot of those sorts of things. But it would have been nice if some of the rhetoric matched the play. We're arriving violently, and we don't want guys if they're not commanders, and we've moved on from somebody that, granted, didn't help Philadelphia very much in week number one, and Jahan Dotson, but for a receiving core that had multiple guys untargeted.
By the way, why was Noah Brown inactive? We haven't talked about that.
I know. You know what I mean? It's like I want some of the promising, and I know they're at the podium for a lot of minutes and a lot of questions. They're answering a lot of things. I just want some of it to match sometimes. Like, again, the team I always harken back to, GP, is not one of the Super Bowl teams, not who Mark Rippon was talking with us about, but when Gibbs came back that first time, or really for the second time, right, in 2005 or 04, all the years run together. Anyway, that team wasn't real good, but, oh, my God, they scrapped. They thumped. They beat you up. The next week you were probably losing because you were limping into the training room for the entire week. That team grinded and competed and gave every ounce on the field. You could tell. And, again, they were limited. They weren't great. But give me that. If I'm going to lose, I can't be down 37-14 to Tampa Bay, and now we're pretending that they're an elite team in the NFL and it's okay. No. I can't have that. I was perfect. I picked them to lose. I even picked them the confidence points. I bet money on it, for God's sakes, that they would lose the game. Not like that. Not to have the doors blown off. So the defensive rhetoric, when you hire a defensive coach who brings his top defensive lieutenant with him from Dallas, and they bring in a bunch of defensive players, the defensive captain-type guys, and the Bobby Wagners, the Louvus of the world. You bring in Jeremy Chinn. You wouldn't think it would be that bad. It would just be nice if one time the rhetoric matched the performance.
I'll give you one more. How about Emmanuel Forbes? Now, my expectations for Forbes were not overly strong or anything. I think we mostly know what we're getting. But there was a little part of me. You know, Clary was joking yesterday about this voice in his head.
The little voice. We all know the voice.
Where the voice in his head was telling him maybe the Commanders are going to be really good.
What if it works?
Right before kickoff, he's like, what if they just beat the Bucks and Jaden's a beast and, you know, they're on their way to like 11-6?
Mm-hmm.
That little voice in my head on Emmanuel Forbes was, what if a lot of it was the coaching staff and usage? And he just comes out here and picks a pass off and has four PBUs and looks like a different guy. What if? And he did not do any of those things. What he did do was grab a guy's face mask as he ran past him for two penalties on one play, for 30 yards worth of penalties on a PI and a face mask, and got benched and also hurt. I'm not trying to beat the guy up. There's enough people doing that, but it's hard not to say I'm disappointed. Game one, year two, new regime. I went out to Ashburn and watched practices and interviewed him, and he talked about last year's in the past. I'm moving forward. You're going to see a different version of me. And I just kind of left that open to possibility, and I'm still going to give him a little more time. But my goodness, was that a bad first impression for year two?
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday just to a degree. I can only have disappointment when I have expectations. So, in other words, if I got a kid who makes nothing but Fs and he comes home with another F, I'm not happy about it, but I'm not disappointed, right? But my A student who comes home with a D-minus on the quiz because he didn't read the book or whatever, now I'm disappointed. I got no disappointment left for Emmanuel Forbes. I already gave it the office. Last year was my disappointment year that he's not Christian Gonzalez or he's not, you know, an offensive player or a lineman or somebody that could have helped him. I'm kind of resigned. So if he plays well, if he does the thing that, you know, several have prognosticated or even hoped for, that he's legitimately, that he belongs in the NFL, that to me is a bonus, and I'll treat it accordingly. But, yeah, but I hear that one. To ignore the fact that he didn't play well to the point that he got benched for yet again, it's hard to ignore that.
I was just hoping to see signs of life.
I get it.
You know, I was hoping to see maybe some growth and improvement. Mm-hmm. Peters came on the show a couple weeks ago, you know, really backed him and said we like the way he's developed and how much better he's gotten, and perhaps we'll see that, and it's coming, but it certainly didn't against the Bucks. Question is yours right now on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. Who are you most disappointed in after that week one loss by 17 points to Tampa? Austin Eckler in 20 minutes. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back out to the course at 1757 in Ashburn off Waxpool by where the Commanders train. We told you there were some dignitaries and celebs roaming around today. We just had Mark Rippon on the show. Make sure you podcast that at thefandc.com. And right now we are joined by one of the most iconic sports voices in this town's history, the guy that made me a Wizards fan, Steve Buckhance.
Will you be podcasting this as well?
We will be, yes. Podcasting. Our producer's setting up YouTube right now so that we can see you
That's
in high
the real
definition.
Deal here.
I mean, this is not some rinky-dink operation when you join the Grant
Top 10 market. Clearly, you guys don't play around.
Let's go.
Number six market, Buck.
Yeah, my first job, you could yell further than the signal. was, you know, but this is better.
It's been too long. You look great.
Thank
Swinging
you, man.
The clubs today. How you been?
I've been fine. I've been good. A lot of fun playing with these guys. You know, the name of the tournament is the Heroes and Legends. And these guys are heroes. You know, I mean, what we do is, you know, knuckleheadedness. These guys are real heroes, protecting the country and doing what they do. And it's this guy right here killing it. Are you staying? Okay, great to see you, man. All these Naval Academy guys. And, in fact, he played football. His name is Ford Higgins. He played center for Navy.
That was a center?
That was a center.
That doesn't look like a center.
That's annoying to me, Buck.
70 pounds
he
lost. And he showed me pictures of him when he played at Navy, and he was a big
Well, of course he was.
Yeah. And, you know, and then I did Navy for 7 years on the radio. So we were talking about Army-Navy games and how special it is and all of that. And it's just these guys are fabulous, man.
By the way, that game's coming to – it's so weird to say Northwest Stadium.
What stadium is it?
Northwest.
It's not Commander's Field anymore?
It was until about 3 weeks ago. They got some naming rights.
Yeah, they change it every week.
Yeah. I'm going to call it the X. Danny calls it Nubs Field.
Nubs Field.
It's just the stadium you don't want to be at. But
it's the exactly.
That game is – I've been there. The pageantry, it sounds, you know, cliche to say, but
no,
it
true.
Really is an emotional, incredible thing.
It's unbelievable.
I try to go every year now. It's great.
It's hard to explain it to people, and he and I were talking about it, whether you – For me, you know, blessed to broadcast the game, but for him to play in it, I just said to him, you know, what is that like where you're literally beating the hell out of each other for 3 hours and then you go stand with these guys that you're going to go to battle into battle with in 2 weeks or whatever. And to do those games, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. I mean, it is dramatic because you're representing, you know, our military, both every side of it. So it's really a fabulous game to do.
What do you make now, as a guy that's been around and been so associated with DC sports for so long, what do you kind of make of our current landscape? Just give me a big 30,000-foot view picture, whether it's teams, fans, engagement, the whole nine yards. Where are we at right now? Because I was having a tough time quantifying this.
Yeah, it is difficult to quantify it because we will always be a transient sports town because of Washington, D.C. You got people from New York come in here. They come from all over. We still have our hardcore fans, obviously, but we will always be in a situation where we go to a Nats game or a Wizards game, and it's unheard of now to go to a Commanders game, I say now, in the last 15 years, and have more fans from the other team there. You know, when you go to a Nats game against the Phillies, there are more Phillies fans there, and it sickens me. Wizards games, whether it was the Knicks, the Lakers, the Celtics, or whatever team
now
LeBron
Golden
James
State,
was playing again.
Yeah,
right. More of those fans. And it nauseated me, you know, because I grew up here. So it really made me – and when I grew up here to D.C. Stadium, then RFK Stadium, that never happened. There were never Steelers – no, there was never anybody else from the other team there. No Steelers fans, no Cowboys fans, all of that. So that's always going to be, unfortunately, who we are. Even though we won a World Series, we won a Stanley Cup, we've won three Super Bowls, and we won an NBA championship. It's always going to be that way. Having that said, the football team just makes it so challenging for us because as much as we love the Caps, who are perennial winners, you know, the Wizards we deal with, you know, the Nats rebuilding, as much as we love all those teams and the Mystics and everybody else, this is a Redskin town. This is a football town. And we are waiting for this thing to turn around. And sadly, it's been, what, 20? When's it was 91 was our last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
33 years.
I mean, there are
Haven't won 11 games since.
there are young people that really that don't know we had a good football team here once.
Well, I'm 36. My earliest memory of the football team is 1994.
Okay.
Now, I got three kids and a mortgage. You know what I'm saying? Like, that we just talked to Mark Rippon.
Yeah.
I didn't ever see Mark Rippon play. I mean, I was a baby in a diaper.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. But I've seen the highlights. I mean, I know all about Mark Rippon. My mom and dad have told me all about all of it.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's not like I'm 20, right? I'm almost 40.
No, well, and I am substantially older than you and covered those teams and was blessed to cover what I call the glory years, the Joe Gibbs years, and Rip and all of those guys. And so back then, and again, it's hard to explain this to young people, but back then, not only did you expect to go to the playoffs, the Super Bowl was a legitimate reality every year. And it hasn't been that way since, like you say, for 30-some years. Yeah. And it's hard to explain that to people. And what kills me about us, and it's not just our city, it's every city, in July and August when we get going, you know, with training camp and OTAs and all that stuff, you glom on to whatever positive you have. A couple of years ago, we were supposed to have the best defensive line in football. Well, that didn't happen. And then last year, you know, guys are picking 7 and 9 or whatever. We win 4 games. This year, we got a new quarterback who's a Heisman Trophy winner. You got this guy and that guy and this guy. And maybe we'll get better as the season goes along. But that game the other day was not anything. I mean, it's rebuild. They're rebuilding.
It's early, yeah, but that was a tough watch. Steve Buck, Anselm, Grant, and Danny. I want to sneak in kind of a nerd broadcaster thing here as someone who loves play-by-play and studies it and wants to do more and more of it. Where do you think we're headed in the industry? I've always said I think radio is fairly safe, although during COVID some teams stopped traveling their broadcasters, which I hated.
Mm-hmm.
But the local element, we're spoiled with some really good groups here, including Charlie and Dave right here on The Fan.
Absolutely.
Every night for the Nats. But the local RSNs and the TVs, I grew up, you and Phil were more important
Perfect.
To me than most of those Wizards teams. And the same thing currently still with Joe B and Locker.
Yep.
Where are we headed, do you think? And I don't mean in D.C., but globally. 15, 20 years from now, is it a la carte on an app? I mean, are broadcast teams, are we keeping and paying guys that can be around for 30 years? Like, how is that going to work?
Well, I don't know if I can answer the question because I can't see 15 years into the future. I don't know what technology is going to be like. I see how it's changed to a certain extent, but basically, it's the same. You have your hometown broadcasters, and as you said, we have some of the best really in the country. I mean, there's nobody better than Joe B. and Locker. Charlie and Dave on the radio are fantastic. Dave Johnson doing the Wizards games with Glenn Consor. I'm talking radio right now. Obviously,
yeah.
TV with Joe B. and Locker. And the Redskins or the Commanders are network guys.
Right.
But the radio, everybody with Bram and those guys is also great. You've looked at some of the broadcasters that have come out of this area.
Oh, yeah.
James Brown, Tim Brandt, Tony Roberts. I can go on and on. Scott
sure.
Van Pelt, obviously, who was my intern at Channel 5. Gus Johnson was my intern at Channel 5. We've got some great guys that have gone on to do what they do. You're always going to have a TV broadcast, I think. I mean, maybe it'll be different, but I think you're going to have a TV broadcast, and it's going to be on somebody's network, whether it's Ted who bought NBC Sports Washington and it's now Monumental Sports, or it's Masson or whatever. There's going to be an outlet for it, I would think, on TV somehow, and there's always going to be radio, so those guys are always going to be around. I just don't know how the visual medium might change, but I think you're always going to have to watch it somehow and listen to it somehow, don't you think?
I think so, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Especially, I just don't know how you'll get it. Like, in other words, there are now teams where the only way to watch, I'm trying to think if it was the Knicks who did this first, but basically it's like a la carte, you could do a game, like $6 for that game, a month for these games. And it's more on an app, rather than a true RSN. I think of baseball, where a lot of, I can't remember which one, Diamond, I think it was.
Diamond Sports, Bally Sports.
Bally,
whatever,
yeah. They went under, so MLB took over and basically streams the games and runs everything through their own offices.
Yeah.
It's a changing landscape, and I can't help but wonder, what's it look like in 10 years?
I think what's changed more in my lifetime has been local sports on TV.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's
nobody has local sportscasters.
Well, we do. I mean, we have guys. You know, four uses obviously. You know, JP and seven has Scott, and he's good. And nine now has Chick doing what he
right.
does, going sort of full circle and coming back to doing what he's doing. But back in the day, before there was really, I mean, there was ESPN. But back in the day, I say my day, with Glenn Brenner and George Michael and Frank Herzog and all the weekend guys, you got your sports. You got your Redskins coverage. From us. You didn't get it from ESPN or some app on your phone. You got it from the local guys doing sports. At Channel 4, George Michael used to get more time than anybody in the country to do sports. On a Monday after a Redskin game, and they measure the time in blocks from 6 to 7, so 6:15, 6:30, 6:45, he would get the entire final block from 6:45 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
That's 15 minutes. They'd have a commercial in between there. That's unheard of. Glenn would get whatever he needed, 7, 8, 9 minutes on a Monday. It was outrageous. You didn't see that in any other market in this country, and of course you don't see it now. Now guys are getting 2 minutes, maybe 2.5, whatever,
if
one
that.
Highlight.
I mean, but they're like Channel 5 has gone a couple. They don't have us like sports.
Right.
They
right.
have like news people read
right.
the
well,
sports.
Well, four did the same. Four yeah. used guys from our, you know, Comcast Sportsnet
right.
to do stuff.
Well, now our guy JP, but is
right.
you know, a freelancer who goes in and does
exactly.
their sports.
Exactly.
But it used to be there were departments. I mean, that's not a word.
Oh,
used
we had
anymore.
A great sports department at Channel 5, and I had so many guys come through there. As I mentioned, Van Pelt and Gus and Chick.
Right.
And then all of our producers, Ernie Bauer and Joe Yashiroff and Frank Christofoli and Larry Duvall, and I'm, you know, I go on and on and on and name these guys. And then, you know, after I left, you had Brett Haber for a year or two. Then Dave Feldman came. You know, guys that are legitimately great sportscasters.
Yeah, now our buddies like Heather McDonough does six people's jobs.
Right.
Kerwin, the photographer, right. is like at nine
hey,
things.
Hey, George's thing, listen, back in those days, you know, when he had the sports machine, you can't do a show like that unless you have the full support. Luckily, they're an NBC O&O. They're an owned and operated station. So if they're going to put on a half hour or an hour show, whatever sports machine was, you have to have full support of the network. You can't just half-assedly do that show. You got to have the full support. So it was him and Wally Bruckner and, you know, Scott before that. And that was a great show because they produced it the right way. So they had some – we used to kid. You know, George would have like six interns watching satellites to give him the best video that he could have. You know, I was lucky to have one intern to watch five games, you know. But you got what you got. And then Glenn, of course, was the best I ever saw. And in any market, and I've been in 30 markets, seen 30 markets traveling with the Wizards, never seen anybody like Glenn Brenner. He was somebody that I would urge our fans, if you don't know who he is or you haven't seen him or you don't know about him, Google him. And he had this town, you know, by the
palm
mats.
Of his hand.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, he was something. And when he passed away, we all, I mean, everybody, every station led the newscast with it. It was phenomenal. And he was literally the funniest guy. And not trying to be funny. He was just naturally funny. And when we would go to Carlisle to cover the Redskins, they would be out there practicing, and all the sports guys would stand on a tarmac and tell jokes. But Glenn would have you on the ground laughing. He was the funniest dude I've ever seen on TV. Legitimately, him and Gordon Peterson were the absolute best, and you'll never see that again in any market. He was the best.
Buck, it was great reminiscing. Good
Thank
talking
you, man.
To you.
You too, guys.
It's been
to
too
catch
long.
Love listening to you guys.
Appreciate
and,
you, buddy.
Mr. Barkley, nice job.
Oh, that's Steve Buck Hand.
Austin Eckler of the Commanders joins us next on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.